Good morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Show. This edition of the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville, Weston Brook Mower, Powderhorn Guns and Archery, West Michigan Bow Hunters, and My Firearms ETS. You're listening to the Outdoor Show live right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown outdoor station. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 395-1450. I'm Tom Medendorp, and I'm here with Jim Boyce of Rod Benson Game Calls, and we're talking about Evergreen Sportspersons Expo on the 21st of March. That's next week, Friday. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 395-1450. How are you this morning, Jim?
Good.
A little technical difficulty, but we got to figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
And Jim, we're talking about the Sportspersons Expo, which is happening next week, Friday. You're going to be there to do seminars on turkey calling.
Yep.
And you do this for... Your friend owns Rod Benson Game Calls now, right?
Yep.
And his name is?
Mike Perrin.
Mike Perrin. I couldn't remember that. Apologize for that. But Mike acquired Rod Benson Game Calls a few years ago.
Yeah, about 5 years ago.
About 5 years ago?
Yep.
And he's using all those same techniques to build the calls and so on that Rod had?
Actually, we've taken and moved forward from what Rod had started. We've come up with a lot of new designs, a lot of new calls. And, we're actually even going on into our own series called the Thrill Chaser series.
Oh, sweet.
And we've got two videos out. We're branching into making some T-shirts, a little bit of everything right now.
Oh, nice, nice. The Thrill Chasers. Thrill Chasers.
Yep.
The Thrill Chasers series. Will you have some of those calls there on the 21st?
Yes, we will.
Excellent, excellent. You know, I was just kind of looking at the flyer for all the things going on. And the seminars, the doors open at 6 o'clock. The seminars start at 6:30, and they get repeated again at 8 o'clock. So people can go and see two different things. And we've had Terry Borman on here. Terry's going to do the food plots, Food Plots 101, for people that are looking to learn about the food plots. Nick and Dennis DeHaan, who aren't related, I found out. I thought they were related. They're going to do smallmouth fishing for smallmouth bass. They're going to do a seminar on that. Jim Brandt, who I had here last week, he's going to be doing walleye fishing. And then Joe Griffin's going to do duck and goose calling. And you're going to be doing the turkey calling. And it says on the flyer, bring your turkey calls for some personalized training. Are you going to demonstrate and help people figure out how to operate their calls?
Yeah, this year I decided to go around and individually show people a certain type of call that they want to learn how to use, whether it's a box call, a slate call, purring, yelping, some tactical stuff like fighting purrs, that type of stuff that people actually need help learning how to do, and it'll increase your odds of killing that big bird this year.
Oh, awesome. You know, doing the when you're talking about doing the fighting purrs and stuff, do you ever use two calls to simulate two turkeys working?
Usually with the fighting purrs, what you do is you flip. We have a call called the snap and crackin', and you flip that on its backside, and it's a bead blasted glass.
Okay.
And you run it back and forth, and it actually sounds like two toms actually fighting.
So you're getting the sound of one, and then as you go forth, and then as you come back, you're getting the sound of the other one.
Yep.
Nice.
And it's great call when you got a hung up bird at about 65, 70 yards. You want to bring them in to
well, and having down. And having one call makes it a lot easier. Where I used to run either a box call and a diaphragm call, or a slate call with a diaphragm call. Too tough to run a slate call and a box call at the same time.
Yeah, you only have two hands.
And it takes two hands to run one of those hand calls, as in the slate or the box. But the diaphragm call is always nice. I always keep one in my cheek, and then I just flip it into place and do what I have to do that way.
Yeah, that's the same way we always run. We're guiding turkey hunters all year long,
you know,
from the start of the season all the way to the end of the third season.
Do you videotape when you're doing this stuff?
Yep, we video everything we do right now.
So you're talking, and you got that in your cheek like that all the time.
Yeah, you get pretty used to talking that way.
Yeah, you keep it. You just... Put the diaphragm call, for folks that don't know, it fits in the roof of your mouth toward the front, toward your teeth at the top there, and there's a piece of latex. It's a U shape, and a lot of people, when they first get them, they put them in backwards. And they put the latex toward the back of their mouth, where it actually belongs toward the front, because they think with the U-shape it fits right into your teeth. But when you put that forward, you press your tongue to it, and then you blow the air over the caul so it comes out between the latex, your teeth, and your tongue. The latex is between your teeth and your tongue, and your tongue is either stopping it from vibrating or allowing it to vibrate so you can cut it off or get it started. And to keep that diaphragm caul, when you want to speak to people and you want to talk and you want to whisper back and forth, you got to flip it out, slide it over on the side of your mouth, on your cheek, and then you're sitting there talking and you've got that in there and you're trying to make sure you enunciate everything properly. it's a lot of fun, isn't it?
It's a blast. We'll run and gun all day long. Even after we have a bird down, we'll go find somebody who's got an open tag and we just keep hunting all day.
Really? So you'll take somebody out, you'll guide them out there.
Yep.
And then you go out there and you see somebody who just walked out of the woods and said, oh, I'm kind of depressed. I couldn't find any turkeys. Well, come with us.
Well, we've usually got a bunch of buddies that are just waiting to go hunting with us. So.
Oh, they're just hanging out. They're waiting for the free ride.
Yeah, exactly.
They want the free one.
You know, friends and relatives, you know, they're always just waiting.
Well, we won't say that about our friends and relatives. But, you know, they want that free hunt, that free guide. And that's okay because they are friends and relatives, and we like to take people out that way.
We enjoy it so much. That's why we guide. I mean, it gives us a chance to go all season long.
Well, yeah. Most of the guys that I have on here, Rodney, of course, he's going through his back surgery and stuff, and Rodney used to take people out all the time, and he didn't charge them. Joe would always take people out and not charge them. And I just know that when people are guiding, they do it because they love doing it. They're not doing it because they're making cash off of it. Typically, if they're charging for a guided hunt, it's to cover costs.
Yeah, it's mostly for, if you've looked at the gas prices and as much as you drive around turkey hunting looking for a bird.
Well, yeah, if you're running and gunning, you're going to be jumping in the truck and taking off and heading out. Or do you specifically reserve running and gunning for when you're in the woods trying to get underneath them?
No, everything. We're everywhere.
You're just trying to locate. And you're moving on. If you can't locate one close by at that, you know, at your first location, then you're just moving on. And that you really want to do that quickly so you can cover ground. But then when you find something, you want to be prepared. So every time that you make that call, you got all your gear with you. You don't make the call to get the turkey to respond and then go load your gear up.
No, nope,
it doesn't work that way.
No, it looks pretty comical. I think if we actually videoed ourselves getting out of the truck, it would be really comical.
Yeah. Where's my vest? Oh, that's your vest. Upside down.
Where's my shelves?
Yeah. Where'd I leave those shelves? Been there, done that. Uh-oh, I think I forgot my shelves. You got shelves this morning?
Yeah, that happens quite frequently.
Yeah, well, you know, we're getting up really early in the morning. You want to get out there and you want to be there before the sun even rises. You want to get that first bird off the roost if you can. If you can't get the bird off the roost, then it gets more difficult. And that's where having a lot of different calls in your repertoire becomes very important, right?
Yeah, we generally use, at any time, I've usually got two or three slate calls, numerous strikers, two or three box calls, okay. and at least a dozen mouth calls. Because you never know what frequency or pitch that the birds are going to like that morning.
Yeah, what they're going to react to.
Yep.
I found one call for locating that works in mid-morning really nice is a woodpecker call.
Yep.
If you can do the palliated woodpecker, that seems to be the difficult one for people, so
yep,
the birds don't become accustomed to it.
And it's so loud and shrill, it's a great shot gobble call.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And have you ever used a coyote call to locate?
Coyote calls are great early season before the season is opened.
Not on the morning that you're looking for the bird.
No, or if you go out at night looking to roost birds, if
yes,
you do that, they will be a county over in the morning.
Yeah.
Because they know that there's coyotes out there.
There's a coyote sitting under my tree. I think I'm going to fly to the one in Allegan.
Exactly.
Yeah, they have several different roost trees that they can go to and so on. They know where they're at, and they know where they're at in the dark. And if you're trying to just put them birds up at night, when the birds go to roost, go to sleep for the night, they go up into a tree. And if you use such as a coyote call, that's going to spook those birds to say, I don't want to be here. And I don't want to tell the coyote that I'm here. So they're not going to as quickly shock gobble in response, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Excellent, excellent. Anyway, we are going to talk more about the methods that we're going to use while we're turkey hunting in just a moment. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Westonbrook Mower, where they service what they sell. All units are ready to use when they leave the store, and Westonbrook submits your warranty information so you don't have to. Stop into the Holland or the Genesis store, check them out on your computer at westonbrookmower.com, or call them at 616-396-5733. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on the Outdoor Show. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by West Michigan Bow Hunters, chapter of Safari Club International. And we've got more news about them coming up in the upcoming weeks and everything that they do for our hunting community. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. Again, for those of you just tuning in, I'm here with Jim Boyce of Rod Benson Game Calls. And Jim is going to be at the Evergreen Sportsman's Expo, on Friday night, March 21st. The doors open at 6 p.m., and I hope to see you all there. I will be there, which I wasn't sure of last week, but I know for sure now this week. And it's Evergreen's actually located at 4512 or 4512 48th Avenue in Hudsonville. So for everybody along the lakeshore here, it's not a long trip to get there. Short little trip at 6 p.m. on a Friday night. What better thing to do on a Friday evening? Go unwind and find out some things about getting out there in the world, and in the hunting world, I should say, and enjoying yourself. Right?
Yep. Nothing better. You get to sit around with a bunch of hunters and talk about hunting, fishing. Doesn't get any better than that.
No, definitely. The seminars that are going on, apologize for that. I'm trying to find stuff on my computer. It always happens to me. One of those old guys that doesn't run the computer well. Anyway, the seminars that are going on, we've got the Food Plots 101, the smallmouth bass fishing, the walleye fishing, the duck and goose calling, and then, of course, the turkey calling, which Jim is going to handle. And during the first section, we talked a little bit about just some different tactics, some different things that go on. We're going to get into real detail in our next section, but right now I want to talk kind of about the scouting, especially when we're talking, it's going to get down to 5 degrees again tonight. It's just super cold.
Yeah, it's real hard this time of the year to get on a pattern of birds because with the snow and everything, as soon as it starts to melt, their patterns are going to change real quick. And turkeys aren't like a deer. They don't have a 1 mile square home range. They've got a 10 mile square home range. So they will scatter. And especially right now, though, while it's cold, they'll still be flocked up.
Okay.
As soon as it starts to warm up and they get closer to breeding time, they're going to start to disperse.
They'll separate out, and then your larger toms will be alone, and then you'll have some jakes that'll be with some of the hen flocks, right?
Yeah, sometimes they'll stay with them. Other times they'll form what we like to call little bully groups. They like to run around together, a whole flock of little jakes running around together.
Just like teenage boys.
Exactly. And then they'll think they're pretty tough sometimes when they're together, and they'll actually try to take on a big tom. And every now and then, the tom has to show them who's the boss yet.
Come around. He's the old man. He says, now, boys.
Yep.
You got to understand how this works.
Yeah, and then they find out in a hurry that the big guys don't play around.
Yeah. Yeah, they're... If you've ever seen them go at it in the woods, for anybody who is out there listening to it, turkeys can be mean.
They can be real mean. We actually have on our latest video, we have two giant toms actually fighting, and then there's three little jake birds trying to go after the mature tom while he's busy with the other tom.
Wow.
It's some great footage.
Wow, that'd be neat to watch. Are you guys putting that together as one of your videos, or is that already done?
It's already done.
Where can somebody get one of those videos?
I believe we have them at, trying to think offhand where we're at right now. The closest place would probably be, I think Jay's is carrying some.
Okay.
But I can't. We've got.
That's okay.
Any of the places where we have calls, they usually carry.
Wherever you see the Rod Benson Game Calls, you'll see the videotapes as well.
Yep.
Excellent. I put you on the spot there.
Yeah, I had to think in a hurry, and it didn't work so good this early in the morning.
That's okay. You know, when we're talking about scouting, though, in this kind of weather, when would you suggest getting out there to scout?
I would wait till a little bit closer to your season. That way your birds will be roughly in the area you're going to be hunting.
Okay. We used to wait for the time change.
Yep.
Maybe we'd go the week before, but it was usually about the time change. Now, with the time change moving up so far, that kind of changed when we would go for turkey scouting.
Yep.
But if you're looking to scout, what you're saying is wait until your season is about to happen. Then go out and scout because you're going to know where those birds are versus you might find some birds today, and then by the time you're ready to hunt, they're going to be 10 miles away.
Exactly. It's the closer you are to your season, you're going to see where the birds are, where they're going to feed. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. If you know where they're going to feed, you can be there. You know, you'll know where they're roosting.
Yep.
But wherever they're roosting, they could be a mile away when they're done walking to get to where they're feeding.
Yeah, definitely. What would you suggest then for people to start thinking about? How would they scout to find the birds the week before?
The week before, I'd get out early. I'd try to roost some birds on the roost.
Okay, so you're saying get out early. You're saying get out early in the morning.
Yep, early in the morning.
And then find them on the roost.
Yep. You get probably an hour before light. Uh-huh. Get out there and hit your spots where you generally know that they roost.
And you're not hunting, so now you're just taking a call, different calls.
Yep.
And you're just going to those locations. Yep. You're not driving under their tree.
No, you don't want to do that.
You're pulling off the road, and then you're gonna. Do you leave the truck? You go a little ways away from the truck.
And a good thing is go with a buddy, mm-hmm. and have one guy do the calling, have the other guy stand off to the side,
and do the listening.
Yeah, because the guy who's doing the calling a lot of times will miss the turkey gobble, yes. because it's so loud in his ears the calling that he's doing.
Yeah, and I've had it before where they started to shock gobble during your call, whatever string you were going to use,
yep.
and you never hear them.
Exactly.
Because they do a short shock gobble, and it's done before we even can hear it because we're not done making the call.
Yeah.
So the week before, you're saying doing morning scouting.
Yep.
And then are we going to talk about roosting the birds when we come back? I think that'd be a good idea. All righty. We'll talk about roosting the birds, and that's doing it at night when we return. The Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville has what you need. They've got you covered for all your hunting needs. Stop into the Farmers Co-op at 3302 Prospect Street in Hudsonville for a complete list of products and services. Check them out online at fcelevator.com. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery for all your arrow-knocking, gun-cocking, fish-hooking, flag-waving, stand-up-and-sing, God Bless America hunting and fishing needs. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We're back, ready to answer your questions right here on the Outdoor Show. Anyway, for anybody who's tuning in, we are here with Jim Boyce of Rod Benson Game Calls, and we're talking about turkey hunting, turkey calling, and we're kind of trying to get you to perk up your ears, listen up, and then show up on March 21 over at the Evergreen Sportspersons Expo, which is happening Friday, March 21, 6 p.m. The doors open, 6:30 the seminars begin. There's several different seminars, and Jim's going to be doing the turkey calling seminar, which take your turkey calls along, and he'll help you figure out how to operate them correctly, right?
Yeah, usually you stand up there and you try to tell everybody how to do it and demonstrate a little bit. This year I wanted to do a little more hands-on and actually have people feel the confidence of running it themselves.
So you're going to have a full complement of staff that are going to be right out there helping people operate their hands?
No, just going to be me. and I may have to have a group of guys, you know, together, you know, tell me what they need to learn, and I'll show them each one.
Yeah, it'll be nice if they can ask you questions about it, you know, and say, well, I can't figure out how to do this right.
It's going
to
be a little more intimate, a little more personal, you know, one-on-one actually training on running a call. It's a lot different, you know, than standing up and you just hear somebody tell you how to do it.
Okay, okay. And it truly is, if you're trying to learn how to do calls, what I always like to do when I was learning how to make different calls and when it was happening, why it was happening, watch videos.
Yep.
And then listen to the sounds, and then I'd hit the pause button, and I'd try to mimic that sound I just heard. When the narrator would be telling me what's going on, you know, and how the turkeys are responding to each other, then I'd try to mimic that and get that stuck in my head, committed to memory, so that I knew what kind of sound I wanted to make.
That's a great way to learn. I learned the same way myself, especially with the mouth call. It's very difficult to learn.
Oh, definitely.
And if you have that live turkey noise in front of you, uh-huh. and then, like you said, you can copy it. Once you can copy a turkey off from a video, you're plenty well ready to get out in the woods and go after
it. Give it a go.
Yep.
Do you remember the first time you did a diaphragm call with your mouth?
Yes, I do.
I'm just thinking back to when I first put that thing in my mouth and the first sound I got to come out of there.
It sounded like somebody was stepping on a turkey.
It was terrible. I thought, how would anybody ever use one of these stupid things?
Oh, and almost choke on it. And
yeah.
I almost gave it up until I had, actually, I think it was Rod himself at one of his seminars, I don't know, you know, 20 some years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Actually told me to trim the tape down.
Yes.
You trim the tape down until it fits the upper roof of your mouth
yep.
to where it fits comfortably. Then you can blow the air across yep. and make your turkey sounds.
Yeah, I actually don't trim them. Just by the shape of where my teeth are, there's two teeth that make an indent into the tape,
yep.
which I'm trying to think of how to describe it to the folks. It's the outer edge that seals off the air so that your air will blow across that diaphragm. But with that, it makes it, when I put it over in my cheek, when I flip it back, it pushes right into that spot.
Yep.
It's right where it needs to be. So it works out nice for me not to trim it.
A lot of guys, the best way to start is to try it, the full call.
Uh-huh.
And then when you trim it, only trim it about a 16th of an inch per trim.
Just barely trim
a little bit off, put it in the roof of your mouth, try again.
Yeah.
And you keep doing that till you get it to start making some noise. And then you work on saying the proper sayings. A lot of people, it's different things, but once you figure that out, you're on your way.
When you say different things, you're relating that to, like when we do an owl call, we say, who cooks for you?
Yep.
And there's different things that you would say, which you're going to help us out with at the Evergreen Horsepersons Expo, right?
Exactly.
The different things you say to get a certain call to come out when you're using a diaphragm call. When we say a diaphragm call, it's called that. You put it in your mouth, but you're using your diaphragm. You're pushing from your stomach. If you're not pushing from your stomach, it's not going to make the right sound no matter what you do.
Exactly.
So if you played in the band and you played a wind instrument, you'll have it down.
Yes, and you'll have plenty of air for no matter how loud you want to get.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If you if you're using your just your lungs trying to get that air to come out, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You know, you can depress your diaphragm. Your lungs, they return to their, what we call it, static position, and then you expand your lungs to get air in. You're not pushing air out through your lungs. You have to use your diaphragm to get that.
So. Yeah, exactly. It takes a little bit of work, but once you can use and master a diaphragm call,
yep.
the other calls, you want to put them away, but don't do that. You want to use the whole onslaught of everything you have. Throw the kitchen sink at them if you have to.
Have you ever gone out to do your morning shot gobble, okay, and you've got three box calls in your vest, and you forgot to either wrap one with a rubber band or whatever to hold the paddle in place, and every step you take, that thing goes, hurt, hurt,
yeah,
hurt. Which one is it coming from?
Oh, it is quite annoying, especially the worst thing is when you're trying to move in close on birds that are gobbling on the roost, and
yes.
you're walking, and every step it goes, yelp.
Yeah. When it gets loud, that's bad.
Yeah,
that's really bad.
When the turkey gobbles at you,
yeah.
you know you better stop and either set the call down or do something with it.
You just did a locator call, and all you were doing was walking. Anyhow, roosting birds, putting them on the roost, putting them to bed. I've heard it said different ways.
Yep.
I like the putting them to bed. I like that. You're kind of tucking them in, getting them ready for morning.
Yep. You know? Getting them ready for the morning hunt.
Yep. What What techniques or what tips would you suggest when trying to nighttime locate in order to put the birds to bed so you know where they'll be in the morning?
We always try to locate birds wherever you know they're at in their area, where you've seen them before. You go to a spot
so
where
they're... So we've gone around and we've seen them feeding.
Yep, you've seen them feeding. You've driven through the area in the middle of the day. You've seen them feeding in this field or that field. You go to a spot where there's water. You look for a little swamp hole, a little swale hole, okay, a creek, a lake. And usually the birds will be on a big roost tree, either a big oak, a big pine, with some pretty good cover up there. And they'll be roosted actually close to or above the water. It's just a safety mechanism that they use. They just know that predators aren't going to come across that water.
So they'll be near the water.
Yep.
Near their feeding area.
Yep.
So if you saw them feeding, they're going to be in these trees. Now, we know they're going to be in the tree, but do we want to walk around with our flashlight and see if we can find them?
No. You want to sit back.
That's kind of like using the coyote call to put them to bed.
Yeah, it doesn't work real well. And they will be like 2 miles down the road.
See ya.
It takes very little pressure to kick them off from their roost area. So basically, okay, you sit back as far as you can and you use a crow call or a owl hoot.
Now, do you do this before the sun sets or after?
You can do it either, because they're usually up in the trees by the last 5 to 10 minutes of daylight.
Okay, I was going to say, have you ever been bow hunting and then you're walking in the woods and all of a sudden they all go up?
Oh, yeah.
As you're coming out, because you're thinking, it's really cloudy tonight, it's kind of dark. So if you think about that time that you're leaving the woods before it's actually dark, yeah, that's the time that they're looking to hit those trees. And I've had it before where I didn't notice them, and all of a sudden they all flew up right as I was on the two-track coming out.
I've had it to where I've been just, you know, starting to drop all my stuff down from the tree stand and had to duck because they've flown right by me.
that'd be pretty nerve-wracking.
Oh, that'll wake you up.
You're standing in your tree, and you're lowering stuff down, and a big old bird comes flying at you. And they're B-52 bombers. They're big birds.
Yeah, and there's not a whole lot of maneuvering for them either.
No,
it's pretty much fly up to the tree and hope they land on a branch.
Yeah, it's not like when a woodcock or a grouse comes flying up at you, which can be, you know, unsettling also, because they're coming right at you and then they turn right at the last second. But when a turkey's coming up, they got a huge wingspan.
Yeah,
and they're a big bird.
A really
their
big
body
bird.
Is, you know, you're talking 20-pound birds, and they're huge, especially when they're flying at you.
Yeah.
So we want the sun to, basically we want the sun to set, so that 30 minutes of light between sunset and darkness,
yep,
that's when you want to do that call.
Yep. And the better you can pinpoint where they're at, the closer you know you can get in the morning.
Yes. How close do you want to get in the morning?
Depends on the bird and the territory. Most of the time, I would say 100 yards. But if you're
within 100 yards or just outside the 100
yards? Just outside 100 yards.
Not any closer than 100 yards. You want to try to get to that 100-yard mark.
Yep.
So you kind of – I find that this time of year, if you look in areas where the turkeys will be, maybe they're grouped up or whatever, but it's a good time because there's still snow on the ground. I can see tracks.
Yep.
I can see movement. And I can look at the territory, so that I can find good spots to set up to roosting areas that will put me up to that 100 yards, but not underneath them.
Exactly.
Because I've made that mistake before, too. Go and hit your call the first time, and he's above you.
It's not a good feeling. It's like, he's not supposed to be here.
Why is he sitting on top of me?
Yeah, they tend to fly away at that point.
Yes, they do. they whatever you do, you're sitting underneath the tree that they're roosted in, and they decide that when they fly down, they're going to fly down, but they're going to fly just a little bit further, and they're out of your range just that quick, and they're headed the other way.
Yep.
They're not coming back.
And they're not coming back, no matter how good you can call.
Yeah, so it's nice to know the terrain that you're going to hunt.
Yep.
Rather than, you know, going up north, which you've probably experienced too. I've gone up north and had no place to go, you know, and you get up there and you start calling and so on. Then you run into the woods. Well, and then things just don't work out well if you don't know the territory.
Exactly.
So I like to go places that I'm familiar with, and that way I know where I'm going to be setting up, where their typical roost spots are. So there's a lot of research that goes into it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and the best thing you can do is look around your surroundings before you even start to call in the morning. Make sure that before you call, you have a good place to sit. Because if he's calling, if he's gobbling, and a lot of times he'll even be on the ground earlier than you expect,
yep.
And he's coming already.
Yeah.
So you want to have a spot to bail out to and be set up.
Yeah, I thought it was dark enough. What the heck?
Yeah, exactly.
And he's coming right at you. Uh-oh. Where'd I put those shotgun shells? The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Repair, storage, winterizing, parts, and more. Call Advantage Marine in Zeeland at 616-748-9235 or stop in and see Dave at 8755 Riley Street in Zeeland. That's at the corner of 88th and Riley on the northeast side of Zeeland. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, educating people in the safe and responsible use of firearms since 2001. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, the skill, and the correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. Classes offered regularly. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot, 616-218-7328, or go right to the web to myfirearmsets.com. That my spelt M-I, myfirearmsets.com. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. Just to give you a little wrap-up here as far as what's going on, if you're just tuning in today, and you can always go to whtc.com and pick up the podcast under Media Podcast, The Outdoor Show, and you get a whole mess of them you can look at. You can go back a couple weeks. You can go back a couple months. Or you can look at today's, because Holly will have it on there at 8.01 a.m. I'm putting the pressure on her. Anyway, just like I always put the pressure on Chris. So, anyhow, you can pick up the podcast at WHTC.com. You can also pick up your weather report at WHTC.com. And if you go to WHTC.com during the show and you're having trouble picking it up on your radio because something's going wrong with your radio or your radio quit working because, you know, we throw things away these days. They break all the time. You can go to WHTC.com and you hit the Listen Live button to listen from 7 to 8 a.m. So that goes for people on the other side of the state as well. If you've got relation out of the area, they can go ahead and pick that up. We've got some regular listeners from over on the other side of the state that like to listen to what we're talking about, and that works out nice. In Wisconsin, they don't listen much. It's too early because it's an hour earlier.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm saying that because Jim just came back from Wisconsin yesterday. Yeah. Last night, late.
Yeah, that was a long drive.
Anyway, I'm here with Jim Boyce, and we're talking about turkey calling and turkey hunting and giving you a taste of what you're going to find out when you go to the Evergreen Sportspersons Expo, which is happening this coming Friday, 6 p.m. The doors open, 6:30 the first seminar starts, 8 o'clock the next seminar happens. Jim will be doing two segments, 6:30 and 8 o'clock, and you're going to do some more personalized turkey calling help, teaching,
yep.
However you want to look at it, during your seminars this year, just because you feel it works better, right?
Yeah.
Or you think you can help people more.
I've had it enough to where afterwards I've shown a lot of people, and people have given me such a big response on how nice it is to actually see what I'm doing,
yeah.
And show them personally. I feel if I take that time and I go around and if I show every person there
uh-huh.
one thing new to use, one new calling tactic to use, there'll be a lot more success just out of those guys right there.
Well, yeah. And success is a good thing when it comes to turkeys, because our turkey population has grown exponentially, and it's exploded. It's incredible how many turkeys we have here from 20 years ago.
Yeah, the DNR has done a great job with the DNR and the National Wild Turkey Federation in conjunction with the DNR.
Our non-governmental organizations have really stepped up, helped out since the reintroduction of the turkey, which
yep.
many people don't know. They were reintroduced to Michigan because yep. we decimated them back just like we decimated the deer population in Michigan and the elk in Michigan, which is a reintroduction.
and we've done well with it. The turkeys right now, I'm hoping they made it through our rough winter this year.
They made it. I'm watching them run all around. Some of them look a little thin, though.
I was up north a few weeks ago, and the snow was just about hip deep, and
they're walking down the roads because they can't get through the fields.
I felt bad for every critter up there. I wanted to throw a corn feeder out in every field, but you can't really do that.
That'd be tough. But they're finding the food. They're finding it. They're scrounging for it. What's nice in the woods, although the snow is going to stay longer, there's less depth in the trees for the snow.
Yep.
A lot of our snow has blown and drifted, so on the fields, on the edges, where they usually find a lot of their food, it's so deep. Right now, it's really soft, but if it refreezes, like tonight, 5 degrees, they'll be walking across the top of it. The problem is they can't get to the food.
Yeah, it's a little hard to get down to it.
Yeah, so food sources are going to be important when you're scouting for the spring turkeys, where the food sources are at, where it's happening, because we've got the snow cover for so long, right?
Yeah, they're going to be feeding heavy this year.
And they're going to be congregated because there's going to be we're going to limit those locations. Yep.
And as soon as you see good green foods, wherever you start, as soon as you get a warm up and wherever the bugs start to pop out, you're going to have a heavy congregation of turkeys around.
Yeah, that's going to be huge because there's going to be the snow covered areas and then the areas where the bugs are popping out and there's still snow.
Yeah.
And I can remember this from when I was a kid where there was snow in the spring, in many areas, even though it was plenty warm, we run around in t-shirts and it was still snow out there.
Yeah, it got so deep and the drifts are so high, it's you're going to see it a lot this year.
It'll take time for it to melt.
I'm just hoping we're not out turkey hunting in snow camo.
Well, it's going to be tough because you're going to have your regular and your snow, and your regular and your snow.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to become a chameleon.
Oh.
Well, these things happen. We just work with them, right?
Yep.
You know, when you're doing the seminars, there's going to be other seminars going on. So it's not just the turkey hunting. There's going to be food plots 101, smallmouth bass fishing, turkey calling, walleye fishing, duck and goose calling. So I'm kind of guessing there'll be some fishermen who want some tips and tactics for smallmouth and for walleye. So they'll hit those two. I'm guessing there's going to be some people that want turkey and duck and goose. But then also, I think we're going to see people that are going to go to turkey calling and maybe walleye fishing.
Yeah.
You know, because they do more than just fishing or more than just hunting, and they're going to want to see that. And it's really neat that Evergreen sets this up with all the different locations within the facility that you can go to the different seminars.
Yeah, they have a great sportsman's group there. The facility is top-notch. I mean, it's a huge complex. And they put on a really good thing. They have a lot of door prizes. It's great for the kids. I mean, it's good family fun.
Yeah, and I'm going to be there. I just figured that out this week to make sure that I could be there. But the Farmers Co-op will be there with a table being demonstrated, display table.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of display tables there. There'll be Northern Edge Food Plot Seed, Hidden Horns Game Ranch, West Michigan Walleye Club, Indian Arrowheads. Now, that was kind of cool last year. Did you see the Indian Arrowheads?
I unfortunately didn't.
I think, if I remember right, because I go to a lot of these things,
yeah.
I think he was showing how to make them as well, the arrowheads as well as, you know, the arrowheads that you can see. MOA Gunsmithing, so Bob is going to be there. Of course, we're going to be there. Powderhorn Guns and Archery is also going to be there. West Michigan Game Birds, Sportspersons International, MTH Taxidermy. Do you know what the MTH stands for?
No, I don't.
I can't remember what it stands for, but it's MTH Taxidermy. So you have a taxidermist there. Camo Creek Hydrographics, R&R Pointing Labs. Oh, that was kind of cool, the folks with the dogs there.
With the puppies.
The puppies. Wings and Rings Pheasant Hunting, I think, is in Jamestown. And then A&S Embroidery. And I know there's some other ones that jumped on since I got the flyer electronically, and I pulled up the electronic one to look at. But what's neat is in the big area, all the different tables that you can go by, look at things, see things. For those folks who got their NRA memberships last year from me, you can renew right now. It's the same time of the year, so we'll have our NRA stuff there that you can renew for. You can check out the different things that we have for My Firearms ETS You can check out, I'll be representing Chickawa Sportsman's Club as well for people who want to know about the ranges, the costs, the membership, stuff like that. So that'll all be there. So bring a pocket full of money and be ready to go.
Oh, yeah. That's my biggest problem. I'm so busy talking to everybody.
You don't get to see all of it.
I don't get to see all of it. And then there's a couple of the other seminars I wouldn't mind slipping in and seeing myself, but it's kind of hard when I'm busy talking.
Yeah, and the kicker is when you're done, you get done doing your seminar, people always come up and want to talk to you in between.
Yep.
Because they want a little more one-on-one. What will be nice this year is you're going to give them that one-on-one right during your seminars.
Yeah.
So I hope to see everybody there. It'll be 6 p.m. this coming Friday. Evergreen Ministries Sportspersons Club. It's Evergreen Ministries Complex at 4512 48th Avenue in Hudsonville. So if you just search on your computer Evergreen Ministries 48th Avenue or Evergreen Ministries Hudsonville, it'll come up with that so you can get your directions. But it's pretty easy. It's Chicago Drive heading from Zeeland to Hudsonville, and it's between there, and then you just turn right. And you just go to the south, second drive on the east side or left-hand side once you turn to the south there.
Thanks for joining us this morning for the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Bedendorf, the outdoor show for the whole family. Today's show has been brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. If you missed today's show or you'd like to hear it again, go online for the podcast at WHTC.com and join us next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for the WHTC Outdoor Show on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.